Ryan paused as another detonation shook the Ville, as the main 40-gallon fuel tanks of the U.S. Army GMC 6x6 added their destructive fury to the growing conflagration. Still wary, Christie was maintaining a close watch on the keep. When a guard appeared on the parapet with what seemed to be binoculars, she swung the heavy long blaster around, set the crosshairs on his chest, and fired. The recoil kicked her hard in the shoulder, making the woman think she had missed completely, but the slug from the Nitro Express crossed the distance in a split second, and the man flew backward minus a head, a splash of blood hitting the flagpole. Hopefully, Gaza would think it was shrapnel from the blast. But as she worked the bolt, a woman dressed in white appeared briefly at a window in the keep, and Christie got a fluttery feeling inside her head. Hastily, she raised the monster rifle, but the woman was already gone. Her heart pounding, Christie suddenly knew she had aced the wrong target. The strange female was the source of danger, but whether she was a Doomie or a telepath, Christie had no idea.
The Baron might have a Doomie. Hawk could be waiting for us at the horse corral.
Or the front gate. Breathing heavily in the darkness, Ryan said nothing at the news for a few moments.
Okay, too bad for him. JB, check out the corral. Everybody else, clear the streets of any sec men.
Standing in plain view, the companions went to the side of the temple and cut loose at a group of guards inspecting the bodies sprawled in the street. Side by side, they chilled every man, the continuing explosions from the WAG drowning out the crack of their rifles. JB collapsed his Navy scope.
Corral looks clear.
Holstering his piece, Ryan gathered up a thick coil of fuse from the roof and tied the end to the top rung of the iron ladder. Tugging hard, he decided it would hold and tossed the rest of the coil over the edge of the temple. With the others keeping watch, the one-eyed man slid down the rope in one fast motion, landing with his knees slightly bent to absorb the impact. Instantly, he turned with the Sig Sauer drawn and checked the street. There were only the dead and the dying on the cobblestones. Ryan whistled twice, and the rest of the companions descended one at a time, the process seeming to take forever, even though it was only a few minutes according to his wrist chron. Once Doc was on the ground, Ryan lit the fuse with his butane lighter and watched it slowly start to burn upward.
Let's get those horses.
Then he started running through the maze of the Ville, with the others close behind. As they raced through Rock Point, flames began to spread across the Ville, following the canopy covering the streets. Soon the flames started to spread to the adobe houses, the compressed mud and straw bricks burning as easily as wood. People were rushing into the street, clutching their belongings and staring about helplessly. A child got in the way of a running sec man, and he clubbed the little girl aside. With a cry of rage, her father smashed a water jug over the guard's head, shattering his skull. As the body dropped, the rest of the family began kicking and beating the fallen man, while cursing wildly.
Looks like we got that revolution.
JB's last view was of the father yanking the blaster from the limp hands of the bleeding corpse and fumbling to work the hammer and trigger. But as the companions took a corner, a group of sec men were shouting orders to a crowd of people stomping out the burning embers on the ground.
It's them!
A sergeant swiveled his long blaster and pulled the trigger. But the weapon misfired, and only a feeble flame came from the muzzle. As the sergeant feverishly worked the arming bolt, Ryan put a round into his chest, while JB fired the Uzi, the hail of 9mm rounds tearing the other segment apart. Dean shouted at the terrified people running about.
Head for the temple! Water's everywhere!
But if anybody believed the boy, there was no indication. Watchful of the side streets, the companions ran through the Ville, shooting down any segment who came their way. The smoke was getting thick, blowing along the streets like mist in a tunnel, trapped by the canopy and adobe buildings. That was an unexpected bonus to hold down sniper fire, especially from that 25mm cannon in the keep, if it was working. Rising above the Ville, orange flames were barely visible through the cloth and the dense clouds. Then there came the sound of splintering wood, as the roof of a burning tavern collapsed, sending sparks soaring skyward in a fiery whirlwind. Needing to check his bearings, Ryan stopped at a gaudy house. The front door slammed aside, and there stood a bald man armed with an axe, along with a handful of raggedly dressed Ville people carrying makeshift clubs. Behind them was a group of women in various stages of undress.
By the Scorpion God, it's the Outlanders! Chill them and the Baron will make us sack men!
Like a pack of hounds flush with the scent of their prey, the rest yelled battle cries and charged. Pausing for a full second to make sure Bart and his wife weren't among the gang, Ryan and JB then opened fire, while Christy braced for the recoil and stroked the trigger on the H&H Nitro. The long blaster thundered flame along the street, the big 475 slug blowing a gory hole through the leader, only then to slam into the second and send him sprawling. The noise of the long blaster startled the rest of the vigilantes, and they broke and run, tossing away weapons. Tracking the group for a moment, the companions then turned and hurried away, seeing no reason to ace the unarmed people.
Fools.
Jack thumbed rounds into the side port of the hot Winchester. When it was loaded, he yanked the crossbow off his shoulder and tossed it away. Damn thing weighed a ton and could serve no useful purpose now. The night creep was over. This was a straight firefight. Screaming as he came, a sec man ran around a wooden cart loaded with loose bricks, shooting a homemade scatter gun. Ryan dove out of the way just in time, and Mildred lunged forward to gut the man with a bayonet at the end of her blaster. The shotgun fell from a spasming hand as the man tried to clutch the writhing nest of entrails pouring from his belly. Although still screaming, the guard was already dead. But Mildred couldn't stop herself from wasting a live round and firing the Remington into the man, ending his agony. Leaving a wounded man to die slowly was something Mildred would avoid whenever possible. By now, the alarm bell stopped ringing, and people were running all over the ville seeking cover, but also looting the buildings and the dead. Several fistfights had broken out, and once Dean saw a sec man shoot a corporal in the back. When the turncoat faced their way, the boy feathered him with the last bolt from the crossbow, then tossed the weapon away. Hot pipe, the ville was going insane. Old scores between people being settled in the crimson heat of raw battle. Doc discharged the Webley at an armed man on a rooftop. Although it was a pre-dark weapon, the revolver was carrying bullets reloaded with black powder, and it boomed as if it had exploded, gushing forth a billowing cloud of acrid smoke. Yet even through the din, Doc saw the guard go over the side and fall to the cobblestones to land with a meaty crunch.
Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Ah!
Mildred flinched as a slug hummed by so close she felt its warmth on her cheek. She turned quickly, but didn't see the source of the incoming rounds. Doubling her speed, the woman tried to ignore the itchy feeling between her shoulder blades of a crosshair marking her as a viable target. Checking around a corner, Ryan whistled sharply at the others and held up a restraining hand. Listening to the growing noise of the fire and rioting filled the ville, the man watched the stables across the courtyard for any sign of activity. But he could only detect the natural motions of the horses, nothing fugitive suggesting hiding troops. Taking point, Ryan sprinted across the open street to jump over a split rail fence and hit the wall of the stable. Then he swung inside with his blaster, searching for enemies. But there were no guards at the corral, the adobe brick stalls containing only horses, mounds of hay, and tack. The animals were shuffling in the straw on the floor, their eyes wide with terror. The horses were reserved for the baron and officers, so blaster fire would be well known to them. But the thick smell of smoke stirred primitive fear responses that no amount of training could completely overcome. There was a movement near the fence, and Ryan almost fired until he saw it was JB covering his blind side. Good man. The armorer stood guard while Ryan gave the signal, and the rest of the companions charged into the stable, grabbing blankets, saddles, and bridles to throw onto the animals. After her horse was saddled, Christy looked around for anything useful to steal and spotted some sagging bags hanging from a wooden peg sticking out of the bricks. It took only a touch to realize they were water bags. Grabbing two, Christy looped the first over the pommel of her saddle, then did the same for Ryan's horse. Finished with her own mount, Mildred saw the action and did the same, along with Doc and Jack. Dean searched for any feed bags for the horses, but couldn't find any. During this, Ryan and JB had remained by the fence, ruthlessly chilling every sec man who appeared on the street, the bodies scattered along the surface like drunks after an orgy. Christy guided her frightened horse to the fence, with two more in tow by the reins.
Let's move out!
Swinging open the gate in the fence, Ryan and JB climbed onto their animals, briefly checking the saddle and reins. Just then, a sec man ran by, clutching the stump of an arm, blood spurting at every step.
That's no blast wound.
JB tightened the reins as a precaution when his horse reared in terror as a cougar loped past the corral with a human hand sticking out of its fanged mouth. Mildred cursed, fighting to control her mount.
The lunatic! Sparrow said the baron guarded the junkyard with some big cats. Cougars!
Must have released them to try and get us.
Dean stroked the neck of his mare to try to calm her. The animal responded to his touch, but became jittery at the moment he stopped the soothing caress.
More likely they escaped, terrified of the fire.
Ryan forced his combat boots into the narrow stirrups.
But it's still triple bad for us.
Jack levered the Winchester with only one hand, the other tied on the reins.
Look out!
Snarling and spitting, another cougar appeared from around a corner, chasing an armed sec man. The fellow fired blindly over his shoulder, and the big cat leapt through the black powder cloud to land upon the man, driving him to the ground under its weight. Then the man screamed as the cougar buried its teeth into the small of his back and savagely shook the man, audibly snapping his spine. Then cast him aside. In a blur of movement, the animal was gone, leaving a trail of bloody paw prints to mark its passage. JB inserted a fresh clip into the Uzi.
We stay together. They're less likely to attack us in a group. Let's move it!
The companions galloped through the billowing clouds of smoke, heading directly for the front gate. There was no more time to waste on subterfuge or tricks. The faster they got out of Rock Point and into the desert, the better were their chances of staying alive. The two cougars joined in the courtyard, snarling their blood-chilling cry as they padded through the smoky ville, attacking sec men and civilians indiscriminately. Anybody who discharged a blaster was brutally attacked by both animals and literally torn limb from limb. Even sickened from the slaughter, Dean filed away the type of attack in his mind. The cats were a pair, male and female, working as a team. He had never seen animals do that. Most muties attacked in a mob, but without any order. These killers weren't even eating the people they aced, just chilling and moving on to find another. The very idea made the boy wish he had taken a long blaster instead of a crossbow from the temple armory, and he clenched his hand around the checkered grip of his Browning high power, privately wishing it was something more than a 9mm pistol.